This episode of Big Think Dimension is brought to you by the Curse of Dong shirt. Check out the Curse of Dong shirt at teespring.com/store/gigaboots-depot or just f***ing Google Curse of Dong shirt.
It goes off sale Wednesday.
Wake up, gamers, because you're in the Big Think Dimension, the first gaming podcast to self-isolate and sound good. Featuring KZ Excellent.
Dan's going to be Philip Seymour Hoffman, so don't get confused.
Dan and Bob Video Game.
I planted an explosive inside your brain.
Oh, that's not good.
God, you're supposed to usually say, oh no.
Oh no.
And Mr. Field.
Fuck popcorn ceilings. Society has progressed past the need for popcorn ceilings.
Here on Gigaboots.
God, this intro sucks.
No, it's the best one yet!
I know, that's why it sucks.
It's fucking enormous, brain. But it's full of so true, God. So much truth. What's up, Bob?
Dan, your horse brain thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't even talk to them. So
what?
We should have brought that up during the spoiler cast.
You really should
have. Definitely not during the beginning of this. Oh, well, it's now the beginning of Big Think. I hope you're happy, Bob. So me and Bob, you know, we were playing Ghost of Tsushima. We have a spoiler cast on that coming out 3 days from now. But we were playing Ghost of Tsushima and Sucker Punch. You know, they put a lot of morality systems in the games. And they were talking about early on with Ghost of Tsushima, they were going to, the way you play the game, either as an honorable samurai or more like the ghost, will determine how the villagers and other people see you. And we were talking about how weird that would be to stick in it, because the game doesn't actually have a system terribly like that. But we were talking about how it'd be funny it would be if you saved a villager and then they just judged you. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny if the villager was voiced by Paul F. Tompkins, the guy who plays Mr. Peanut Butter on BoJack Horseman and a bunch of other things? And he was just like, I'm not sure that this was very honorable. I was told I would be saved by a samurai. And you're just like, but I saved you. And he's just like, I don't know. You need to do better, mister. But Bob did not know who Paul F. Tompkins was. So when he heard that, he thought the bad guy in Mission Impossible 3, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I was like, no, Paul F. Tompkins.
Put a bomb inside your brain.
And then hours later, I'm like, oh my God, it would be really funny if he was just like, you're not very honorable. You're kind of gross. I thought I'd be saved by samurai. And he's just judging you. And then that expanded to us being like, he's just an active part of the story. He's now Coden Khan instead of this villager. The villain is now Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's like, I planted a bomb in your horse's brain. And the horse is taped to a chair. You're taped to a chair.
Again, you're making that movie better. It might be the best one.
I wish it was. That first scene is really funny and it ruins the rest of us. Very Last of Us Part 2.
It's a 4-minute long film.
God, that would be an improvement. Anyway, hello, welcome to Big Think Dimension. I'm your host, Daniel Video Games. Today, I thought we would talk about video games.
What?
Bob, have you played anything other than Ghost?
I have played a few other things.
Okay, what you been playing?
I finished Panzer Paladin.
Oh.
So I got all the way through that.
Yeah, so did I.
The 2D platformer from Tribute Games. Zelda-esque, ?
Zelda 2-esque.
Okay.
With Mega Man levels, because you can select them in any order.
All right.
Near the end of that game, you go into Wily's castle after beating the 10 stages, and Wily's castle is like 6 or so stages long.
Yes, that is also my issue with it.
It's really grueling, and it gets super obvious they need more boss music, because, oh God, it plays the same one every time, and it just is like, oh... Please.
They need more more fucking mechanics too. The game is longer than the mechanics can support.
That too. You were talking about how there weren't any gimmicks in each level, and I started thinking about it. I was like, there are gimmicks. They're just the most plain Jane thing you can imagine. Like, this level has platforms that drop out if you stand on them too long. This level has bombs that appear in the area that if you go near them, they'll shoot energy out in all directions. It's like really basic stuff that doesn't feel like a strong mechanic for a stage.
Yeah, and like comparing this to a Mega Man game, even the couple on the NES that have two fortresses, the first fortress has really short levels usually. Like, you can blink and finish the Proto Man fortress in 5. This has an intro level 10 selectable levels, then 6 or 7 Wily Castle levels.
Yeah, it's just too much.
That's kind of like the opposite of Mega Man 11's thing.
It feels like...
Because Mega Man 11, what is it, 3 at the Wily Castle? It feels like it's way too few.
Right, it's too short there, and then this goes the other way completely. Yeah.
This goes Mega Man 5 style with the Proto Man Castle and then the Wily Castle.
But even this one, like...
Yeah, but...
Like, those few levels in 11 are super memorable.
Oh, yeah, no, they're good levels.
There isn't a single memorable one in this.
Oh. No, there's not. I'm thinking, like, now, can I remember a single screen? And the answer is no.
Oh.
And then after you beat it, you unlock remix mode.
Okay.
Which uses the old palettes for stages, but puts every mechanic into every stage, so they all blend together even more.
Describe a mechanic real quick.
Stuff like the falling platforms, those bombs I was talking about. There's these plants that are only one level, so I'll count them as a mechanic, where they just shoot energy straight up and it falls back down. And those end up in every stage.
So this is the equivalent of, congratulations, you finished dinner. How about dinner remix? It's just someone took a spoon and mixed it all up.
Yeah, it's like they're like, how can we make every one of these stages the hardest we can? And it's just like, throw all these mechanics in. Okay, I remember one final stage, which is either the last or the second to last.
Okay.
The new mechanic they add is instant death lava.
Oh.
Raw.
It's sometimes it's in places you wouldn't expect it. You think it's like the foreground or something, like going over the screen, but no. If you touch it, you just die instantly. Your robot explodes, and you get shoved out. It's really strange how weirdly, like, the art design doesn't portray, oh, that's a threat, one, and that's an instant kill threat, and is right in the way of something you want to do. Like, if you just go slightly too far to the left on the screen, you'll just die.
Also, dying in this game is like a fucking nightmare, because it's simultaneously really boring to replay things, because, first of all, I never died a single time in this game outside of a pit.
Yeah.
So there's so few checkpoints and everything that, and the game is so devoid of, like, challenge, that dying is like, I don't want to play anymore because I died. Not even because it's hard. It's just like, I don't want to redo 5 minutes of boring content.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's just, it doesn't feel like worth playing again. And then if you get knocked out of your suit and go around on foot, if you make it to a checkpoint, you can't use the checkpoint. So there's no point. Like, it feels like I should just kill myself if my suit gets broken.
That's how I feel about the camera. Oh no, the camera's too expensive. I want to die.
Also, you unlock boss rush mode when you beat the game. I played through boss rush mode. There are so many bosses in this game that probably took 20 minutes or so.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
The game crashed as soon as I beat it. Didn't save anything.
Okay, goodbye. You're done.
Yeah.
So is that game still installed, Bob?
It is, only because I was like, I haven't played remix mode. I need to know what that is. Now that I know what that is, I should just uninstall it. But I have some weird modicum of hope of, like, they'll do an update or something, and I'll, for some reason, want to play it again.
I don't think they ever updated, like, Flint Hook. I think they just let that thing rot.
They updated Mercenary Kings once, I think.
Even with all that being said, where it's kind of bad in a lot of ways, this probably still tributes best game.
Oh, wow.
It is, and that's the depressing thing.
I actually really enjoyed Mercenary Kings until I beat it and found out what the loop was, and then I hated it.
Yeah. The music is still good, except for not being enough at all. God, why is it so long? Why is it like this?
Value. People hate short games.
Yeah, I think that I ended up clocking 8 hours or something in the in-game time before it saved. I don't know. I don't even remember leaving it on for a long period of time. That could have just been me doing the other stuff like remix mode and boss rush, but still, that's a ton. That's way longer than it should have been. That's all I have to say about Panzer Paladin. Do you have anything else, Phil?
Okay. Well, hey, Bob.
What's up?
You remember that game Odalis?
Yeah.
Well, I'm struggling to remember the name of the game that came after that because I'm really bad with...
Oh, that Contra-like game.
Yeah.
That thing was great.
There we go. Chrome? Blazing Chrome. That's why it didn't stick with me. It's, you know... Not exactly a unique name, but anyway, So this has the opposite problem of Blazing Chrome? Well, actually, I wouldn't say it's a problem with Blazing Chrome. I would say Blazing Chrome's perfectly paced, where there's a lot of memorable levels and everything else. I think it's a real shame that this game didn't come out more like that.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why they felt like they needed these levels to be so long and boring.
I don't think they felt like the levels needed to be boring. They're like, no, this is too exciting. Take it out.
And the mechanics around the weapon system are just... it never evolves into anything I cared about. It's just like, okay, I'll just use this one since that one broke. Like, I'd rather it just wasn't there and didn't get in the way. And they balance things more around the basic weapon.
I have no idea if that spirit force thing tied to how many weapons you're counting even does anything, or if it's just a lie, because I could never figure any difference out.
I assume that makes the boss do more damage, because I felt like I was dying pretty easily to a boss at the end of the game, but I don't even know.
By the way, that's literally the only thing that the difficulties change is how much damage you take.
Oh, that's great.
Ugh.
Very high quality.
But I there was something way better I played this week.
Okay, what was that?
I played Neo 2. It did the big update.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It got that huge update.
Tengu's Disciple, I believe it's called. Which I haven't played any new content from that, but it adds a bunch of things that go through the whole game, like the new weapon, the quarter staff, which is very much like the lunar staff from Ninja Gaiden.
Ooh.
But every time you have the option to, on any attack, you can hold the attack button, and it's one of those tri-section staffs, so you'll just like twirl the one end of it, whatever you're attacking with. It seems really neat. I want to play more with it. I have not been able to play with it enough to give a good summation of how I feel about it, but I think that they've done some really neat stuff. There's a ton of moves for it. It has its own style of counterattack where it can block. It kind of like one of the double sword counterattacks. And it's got a bunch of things where you just swing it wildly everywhere. I'm like, is this for crowd control? I don't feel like you really do that much in this game, but neat.
I feel like if you need that, you're kind of already dead.
Yes. I also was like, this seems super hard. It took me over an hour to beat one of the levels. I was like, oh, I should have looked the level for it going here, because I was, after beating the stage, I was three levels under what I should have been.
Oh.
And the boss of the stage was literally, his grab could just kill me, and any other attack could kill me in two hits.
I went to, and this is when I was still going through it, I went to the level where you fight a giant bird at the end, and I was like, this is too hard. What's going on? I was 22 levels under.
Oh.
I'm doing all the content, and I'm starting to slide under it because I'm still
going through. Oh, that was because I mainlined and didn't do any of the side things. Once I did that, I stayed on pace for the rest of the game. But
yeah, I tried to do all the side stuff even, and I ended up like that. I guess I must have missed something. I need to go back and figure out how to power up. But yeah, all the stuff is really neat. They added a thing in the shop for the Kodamas, where we can buy extra like health restorers and arrows and stuff. You can set it to auto buy, so it'll just use up whatever extra divine rice you have whenever you spawn. Like, okay, I maxed out your elixirs and I maxed out the number of arrows you buy.
That's so helpful.
My fucking god! I finished this game, and every time I died, I went, "Let's go back in there. We're gonna buy it. We're gonna get all our cups. We're gonna get all of our elixirs." That's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's a really great quality of life change.
Yeah, I picked up the DLC and I played a little bit of it, not enough to like get a super good grasp on like the new content. The level that the first level that I tried already seems really good. It's like a ship graveyard.
Oh, that's always good.
So it's just a bunch of ships smashed together, which is really great. It means you're never going to run because you're going to fall through shit. I ran into one of the giant brute yokai, but this one like was a spellcaster,
huh?
So he had like a staff and like shot spells at me and summoned like those spirit talismans from Sekiro. Like a bunch of them just appeared near me. I'm like, I gotta go. I don't know what this does. Also, a demon crab.
Good. Like finally,
a giant crab came out of the ground, and on the back of the crab is a demon face, and it does the crab walk at you but goes at mock speed, and it does like a charging like wind current in front of it. I'm like, you can't run around this. You have to like run backward or block. Cause it's going. But yeah, so far it seems like really substantial in terms of I'm seeing new enemies and the location was cool. Apparently it has at least like three bosses, which is pretty all right.
Yeah, Nioh 1 did a really good job on the DLC as well, so I'm glad they're pulling true again.
Yeah, the season pass is like 20, and in this pack particular is only like $10.
But yeah, I guess they also added new customization options, like there's new hairstyles and stuff, and there's a new new attacks for old weapons as well, and new ninjutsu, it said. So I haven't looked through it. There's a huge change list. It's 9 pages long, and each page is pretty big. Found it on their Twitter account. It's seems like good stuff. I need to play more of it because I only was able to play a few hours, do one stage that was really long. And yeah, my main problem with that game is still, man, I wish I had a good main character like the first Nioh.
Yeah, be like potato.
But
like William.
Yeah, William is a character, whereas this guy looks at stuff. People emote at him.
Yeah.
He doesn't emote back.
Yeah, you're
back.
Playing as Mr. Gosling.
Yes, you really are.
You play as Ryan Gosling hanging out with Hideyoshi.
I need to go see if anyone uploaded Ryan Gosling character model, because you can share characters on that game.
Yeah, you can. Oh my
god. If I play it again on PS5, that's what I'll do. Every single time you start to fight a boss, you just slowly circle around them while rolling your sleeves up.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to owe me 3 times, but then I'll figure it out.
Here's my Ryan Gosling run unarmed.
There are bonuses you can put on that game to make unarmed combat viable.
Cool. That sounds like...
Yeah, I keep hoping that in one of the DLCs they'll just be like, here's Beowulf. Just get Beowulf as a weapon class now.
Yeah, it'd be really great if they did something like that. I'd love to see I want to kick this guy.
Did you play anything else, Bob?
No, that was it.
Oh, really? You didn't play Rocket Arena?
I didn't. I did the tutorial stuff. I wasn't going to talk about that because it's like, I'm going to play this game actually whenever Dan can.
Oh, okay. Well, I played 9 matches of Rocket Arena while you were asleep.
Cool.
Instead of sleeping myself.
This is that game that EA showed, right?
Yes.
Yes. So the way it feels is it has definitely a bright, poppy-styled Unreal Engine 4 look with lots of energetic characters. So if anything, it reeks of Fortnite. But it's a 3v3 shooter versus game where the goal of each match is to make 20 points. You get a point by doing enough damage with your rockets when you hit the enemies to get their damage bar filled. And once it's filled, that next hit will send them flying out of the arena, kind of like Smash Brothers. But, of course, it's a 3D game. It has
Smash Brothers is a 3D game.
It sure fucking is. It has a lot of different characters with a lot of different feel to them. For each character, you get 2 different shot types and a special ability. The special abilities get loopy as shit, in my opinion. So you'll have somebody who throws out a sphere of slowing everything down. So you just throw that on the ground in front of you, and now everyone's rockets take forever to hit you through it. It's the most cheesy shit. You have a character who wields a spear, and their secondary type of fire will be just them lunging with the spear. Actually, no, that's their special ability. They just rocket through the air with their spear stab, and an explosion comes off. The secondary fire with her is like Ebola. So you just throw it, it grabs the enemy and pulls them towards you. The game's really fun. Bob and I got it on sale for $10 each. It seems relatively worth that price. I'm enjoying it, but it has...
Also, apparently, it's only $5 on the PlayStation Network right now.
Okay, so maybe people want to check it out. The largest problem is the second I enabled crossplay, because you have to opt into that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't... Like, I think out of the... 7 matches I did pass that, only one of them was I able to finish without someone dropping from either team.
Huh.
It's a problem. It's a really bad problem. I don't know if in social multiplayer it's punishing that. Hopefully in competitive it's punishing that. But yeah, the game seems pretty fun. I enjoyed it all right. I was looking forward to playing with people. Maybe you guys should get it. It's only $5. I don't know. Specifically talking to Phil and KZ. Our audience could do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
I've been considering it as you're talking, but I'm like, it's 3-on-3.
Nah, it's cool.
It's like the worst. It's like the worst possible setup.
Nah, it's great. It'll be me and Bob versus you and KZ and
one dipshit each.
Yes. Who knows? There are custom matches. We may be able to set up an AI buddy because the game does have modes like for baby training where it throws in rocket. What do they call them? Rocket bots. So that way you can fill a slot. But yeah, well, no,
it's on sale until the 20th. So if that exists, I'll get it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, me and Bob plan on doing a stream hopefully before this episode of Big Think Dimension goes up. But yeah, that game's pretty fun. I'm looking forward to playing it now that I'm done with Ghost of Tsushima. It'll be that and Story of Seasons. Oh man, that was like a 2-week break from Story of Seasons. Sorry for all the Story of Seasons fans waiting for more Dan talking about that, because I had to drop that game entirely for Ghost. Ghost was a longer game than I was expecting. But I think that's about it for this week on what I've been playing. KZ, what have you been playing?
Aside from that Neo 2 thing, nothing. That's it.
Feel?
I played some of Final Fantasy 12. a game that has.
You gonna keep going?
No, I already quit. I got to the dungeon with like the demon walls, and I'm like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Oh no!
Dungeons are really long, and combat isn't fun. Also, it keeps just playing John Williams tracks at me, and it's making me confused.
That's not true. A Japanese man composed the soundtrack for Final Fantasy XII.
He clearly never heard of John Williams. Who's that?
So, I had been told, you know, I had heard Final Fantasy XII is like Star Wars a lot.
Yeah.
I assumed that had come from a couple places. Just, you have a dipshit kid as your protagonist. He's like Luke. Then you have the Sky Pirate and his big non-human friend. and you have judges that work for the Empire that look kind of like Darth Vader. And maybe one of them is somebody's dad. That's what I assumed it just was. I didn't assume all the airships look like Star Wars spaceships. The music is just ripping off John Williams' music. They keep they show you establishing shots that are just look like prequel shots. There's like the first real pre-rendered cutscene is like time to fly through Naboo.
Yeah.
And then the next one is like, we're gonna show you the Empire's capital. It's just Coruscant. And then you're just like, go through this dungeon and go through this long outdoor dungeon in the desert and fight sand people while a song that sounds exactly like a John Williams song is playing. And I started to pass out.
You do a crit and they go,
and they like the cutscenes have a lot of shot reverse shot.
What the?
Casey, have you seen a fucking prequel?
I don't think the prequels created shot reverse shot. I think laziness created those.
When it's everything together.
Are there any swipes to transition scenes? I can't remember because those are very Star Wars.
Yes, I think there are.
No.
The only thing that sticks out in my brain is not being Star Wars is there's this one cut in engine cutscene where two characters are looking at each other and they do like an anime. You see both of their eyes in the same frame. Like one half is the top half of the screen is one character's eyes, and the bottom half is. I'm like, I feel like no other Final Fantasy game has ever had a shot like that. Like usually they have a little bit that usually Final Fantasy games use like live action cinematography instead of anime cinematography. And that was where, but it's just fuck. It's a prequel movie. It's cool. Fucking insane.
Do you go to Geonosis?
You know, there's an area you're in that just looks like the Geonosis clone base, so yes.
Like, I played this, I'm like, I wonder if he also thinks that was Geonosis.
Normally, because fucking games rip off fucking everything. Halo is Demolition Man.
Not aliens, Demolition Man.
Why is it the first one?
That's also where Blizzard got the Diablo font from Demolition Man.
It's funny, but
Mega Man is Astro Boy. Half of Street Fighter characters are just characters they took from fucking manga.
Hey, he's also Cassern.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, once the internet starts existing, you have to stop.
We all agree. All bets are off. You have to quit. We don't talk about it ever again.
The expiry date is 1999.
See, I'm even willing to be generous and be like, High Speed didn't really get everywhere till like 2002, 2003. So you have until then.
It's okay. Like, they announced Final Fantasy XII in like 1999.
What, before Final Fantasy X came out?
Yes.
Don't you remember where they announced like Final Fantasy X, 11, and 12 all at once?
Yeah, they spent forever making 12. It was a nightmare. The director of the game wishes he was dead.
I know 12 was a nightmare, but I didn't remember the rest. Also, one of the characters, I think, just basically wears the exact same outfit as Lightning. It's strange.
Oh, Ash?
Is that her name? The girl. The girl
the
who
princess?
Is... Yeah, Ashalia Nargan Dalmaska. It's like, is she just wearing Lightning's outfit? It looks super similar. That's weird.
It's less high tech.
Time to do bad MMO combat until I stop playing the game. And then you meet Andore, and he's like, hing-a-ding-a-ding, and then I quit playing the game.
Jesus. Okay. I was wrong. They did not reveal it that early. They announced Final Fantasy 9, 10, and 11 at the same time in January of 2000.
Okay, that's a little bit more sane.
Yeah, they did that during the Square Millennium event.
I still know that 12 took forever.
It took the entire gen. That poor man.
Yeah.
It should have just been like, make it a tactics game. Take the number off. It can be a Star Wars tactics game. It's fine.
I'm kind of interested in playing Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings on the DS and seeing if that's just a better video game overall.
The direct sequel?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm curious.
The director said this is not a sequel, it's an alternate story.
What?
That's why we didn't call it Final Fantasy XII 2.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that's all. I'm done.
Well, then that means we're talking about the Pod Lords.
Oh, shit. The Pod Lords.
Ah, Pod Lords.
Oh, fuck. The Pod
Lords. No, Casey's down a well. Pod Lords, help that man get out of the well.
Pod Lords, such a...
Danny Richardson. E. Lee Broyles. They Pod Lord now?
They Pod Lord now.
When she perfect parries. That is an image, of course.
What? Whose face is that?
That's my face for some reason.
Is that Bob?
Bob's doing a half smirk and they poorly cropped it. It made me laugh. Anyways, Red Blaze 27.
When she perfect parrying.
Don't talk about it. Motherfucker Unlimited.
Oh, wow. No,
friend of the channel, Mike Matei.
Big penis.
Suzu Shiro. Emperor Zero. Shibuya Gato, storing her power for an even greater name. She's arcing with energy.
That's good. Better than E.
peaceful world.
I was making my credits for my Patreon thing. So I have to cross-reference them. I'm like, who's E? You. Just gonna write your real internet name instead.
Kamen Rider, Memory of Hero, spoiler cast with Vox subbing in for Dan. Well, I appreciate that last bit.
I love that Bob's still trapped, though.
Apparently.
I mean, it's an action game, so we absolutely need Bob's opinion. A real one, not a Musou.
It, what?
Oh, God.
Now he's scared. Now he's scared it's going to be terrible.
I didn't put it in the news, but I'll talk about it now because of this.
I had to see this, so you have to as well. You are correct, Podlord. I had to see that, but no one else does. Moving on.
Thank God.
Yay.
But I want to see it. Let me see it.
After the podcast, Lady Popscorn.
That is the record of Entry of Life Software.
Maddie Moe.
Maddie Mo.
Every second you're not running, I'm only getting closer.
Oh, fuck.
Is it Linkara?
There's no, the image has nothing to do with it. But you know what this image has to do with? The ghost of Busima.
Oh, no.
It's horrifying. It's so scary.
There's no honor in hiding your teeth.
Imagine Gary Busey using ghost stance.
He's just yelling the whole time. Yeah.
The mask falls off also.
The Shades Retrieval Arc, Episode 2. We're still on Google. WTF Spider-Man. Mr. I Like Spam. Pecan.
I bought all the stuff to make Masubi. I need to do that.
Hell yeah. Karl Nov. Karl Nov is still really great. I love Karl Nov.
Yeah.
Just your typical humble Jack Frost. The image is a screen cap from the game of him saying, if you're such hot shit, then crush this rock with your bare hands. I swear to God, guys, we did not see this Podlord before we said this joke in the fucking spoiler cast. Lord Sakai, exploiting weakness is not true strength, honor.
It's true.
Oh my god. When your audience is on the exact same brain dead dipshit wavelength as you.
Yes, no, it was really good. I was like, oh shit, everyone knows. Everyone knows he's jeering.
We just recorded it.
I know, that's the fucked up thing.
We recorded that an hour ago. Yeah. I was like, this is so stupid. Nobody could ever think of this.
Then he turns around in a Podlord's
This is the bullshit. This is like JoJo Part 2. Your next line will be this.
Yes, exactly. Gee, Bob, how come Eric let you have two games in your pitch?
Nobody's stopping me.
This is very Kirby. Muckbun. Patreon Arcana social link rank up 8. You feel like you've come to know the Podlords better now, and the restraints are loose. Shiny Mew befriends a local Bidoof as she searches for the now disappeared Baconator Pringles.
Again, that's still fucked up.
Hopefully you find them. Shin Megami Kunai. KC.
Yeah?
No, KC.
Ah, yeah.
Is KZ's face on a box of high C cooler?
High C's cool, but I was a bigger fan of Tang. It had the commercials with the orangutans.
Oh, that's fair. An eager Tonberry, now optimized for Siri. Oh, wait. Give it a moment. It's still loading in.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. I have expected
it. You're it.
I have expected to just see the grunt face. Not the grunt face, the brute face in there.
I will continue to forget to change my name. I promise this isn't hacked.
It is.
Toads Tunes.
Yeah.
There are no console exclusive third parties. Die.
They picked the perfect frame of him.
It's so good. It's so smug. He's decimating.
Oh my god. Bigger fan of Mugman, to be honest.
On all levels but physical, Adam Admar is Gundam.
Just get yourself a cardboard box and a marker.
Yeah.
He's fighting now.
Skyfire Hero, remember my introduction to the cycle was a 2007 Kevin Bacon film, Death Sentence. Kyle Bjork.
Man paid $50 for that.
The theme of self-care is bravery.
It's true. Most people really fucking hate themselves.
When the Seagulls Cry, a Netflix original series. What the fuck?
Ooh, that's Yumi Neko.
That's Umineko and Higurashi. That's just the subtitle, the four title they have, like the series title.
It's Zilter time.
The fuck is Zilter?
Zilter is a viewer. That's all I got. That's all I got for you.
Oh, it's like Dimmick's time. I thought it was like Miller time for a second.
Are you dipshit or getting drunk? Either way, at the end of it all, you're dipshit. And after a millennia of slumber, he finally arrives at the world's last remaining non-ironic triple axis podcast stand. Thank you very much to our pod lords. Oh, wait.
Thank you, pod lords.
And Zasterder. I can't say this in a way where people aren't going to assume I'm saying your name wrong, so I'm going to screen cap it just to show. Zasterder.
Zasterder, yeah.
I was getting worried because you turned into a bee.
Something to be 100 Z's, honestly.
Yeah, you really hyped this one up.
I just...
I'll include it. But
thank you very much to our pod lords.
Thanks pod lords.
Thanks, pod lords.
And if you'd like to become a pod lord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits, such as early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, Cursed Content Club commentary tracks where you get to hear us watch the bad movie we watch, Cursed Content by Committee, it's the same concept but Patreon exclusive, and you get to vote on what horrible thing we watch, extended armchair dev pitches which are actually coming out now, and other benefits. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. I want to talk about this Kamen Rider thing to get it the fuck out of the way.
All right.
And to hurt Bob. They don't really do Kamen Rider games that often. They did like a really couple really, really bad Musou games on the PS3.
I thought there was some fighting game on the Wii or something.
Yeah, there was a fighting game on the Wii, which was even older. And then they did a couple DS ones that were bad, and then a 3DS one that was bad. This time they're making an action game called Kamen Rider Memory of Heroes. It ends in a Z because the current one, Kamen Rider 01, is in it. This has more potential to be good than any of the others because it doesn't have 87,000 characters. It has 3.
Wow.
Is it based on one arc? No, it's even more insane than that, and I will explain because I was confused too, and then I did research. It's Kamen Rider 01, who is the current one. Kamen Rider Double, who is basically a decade old. And Kamen Rider O's, who is 1 year newer than Double. So the other two are both really old.
Don't make me want this. That's the one Kamen Rider show I've seen.
That's not old enough for me to be excited. Like, if it was Kamen Rider Black, I'd be like, sure.
Why the fuck are they doing this? Well, it turns out that the theme of this game, other than bravery, is this is going to be a form change combat game. So other than the current one, they picked the two that do the most transforming in the middle of fights. Like they'll change from like the form that uses the sword to the form that uses the gun. They put out a trailer for it. It looks better than the Samurai Jack game.
It's not a high bar.
Yo, it's approaching a 6 then?
It has a lot more gameplay elements than I thought. Like, it shows them using their one of them using the jet they have to shoot down a flying boss. But it comes out October 29th, I think, is when that comes out. Yeah, October 29th. On PS4 and Switch. It looks like they're doing the shit where you have to pay 15 times as much money to get songs. Because it's a Bandai Namco game and they love doing that. I assume this will not be localized. I think the best we can hope for is it's like some of the more recent Gundam games and Super Robot Wars games where like the one they make for China has English.
Right.
But if they do that, I might actually buy it because it looks like a real action game. I saw like more enemies than were in DMC the DMC in that trailer.
Ooh. Does it have like a mix of the ones from their shows or?
Yes, because I saw monsters from both shows in it. They have a weapon wheel. The changing forms is just your weapon wheel.
Oh, that would work.
Like, because there's gameplay of Kamen Rider Double beating up a guy, and then it goes into slow motion, and all his forms pop up in a ring in the center of the screen. I'll just put the trailer if KZ wants to take a gander at that as we continue talking about things. But yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that it looks like an actual video game where they might have tried. The fact it's not just, here's 40 characters, really helps.
Imagine that.
I like any game trailer that tries to do cinematic, like, Chrome text.
All I can think of is trailers for Earth's Defense Force.
You know what? I'll knock this out because I want to talk about this.
Sure.
World of Warcraft popped up rated for the Series X in Brazil, I think?
Yeah.
They have already said that is an accident.
Okay.
Oh,
what
well,
that's a shame.
Good. That's what I was hoping for by today, honestly.
For a second, it seemed possible because they had done a bunch of... Apparently, someone DM'd me to educate me that since I quit playing, which was two expansions ago, I quit playing after Mists of Pandaria, and I forget whether there was two more after that or three. I think only two, but there might have been three. But they just made a bunch of changes to everything that seemed like they were consoleizing it.
Huh.
So I wouldn't have been surprised, but apparently that's just bullshit. Which, you know what? Good, because I would have been like, you're doing this 7 years past anyone caring.
Yeah, it's pretty late for this sort of thing, but you know what else about Microsoft or the Xbox that came out that was bullshit and a mistake, but wasn't a retractable leak or of some sort?
Everything?
This interview they did with The Guardian where they said, the Xbox Series X games are no longer defined by technology. There's some really choice quotes in here that I really appreciate. The most suspect one, in my opinion, you know, other people disagree. Other people found parts that they latched onto. But my favorite part that seems absolutely suspect is this ending quote, which doesn't even match up with a lot of what the rest of the article is about. But they say, I think we're inching up on that, talking about movies and special effects in games where the tech is to just create. The tech to create is just there, and hopefully the players are being drawn more into the story and in the world, and less thinking, oh, wow, the loading times on this game are really short. I mean, it's great to have short load times, but I hope that's not what players will pay attention to.
Please don't pay attention to it. It's really slow.
So that was a really weird quote that just makes me think, oh, they figured out there was a huge loading disparity between the systems. That's really dire. There's another part where he insists that 5G is relevant to the Xbox Series X as a console, which is bizarre because that's wireless internet for phones.
I have to assume it's because he's all up in every aspect of Xbox because, you know, they're like, you get Game Pass and then you get xCloud and then, you know, you can play this on your phone. You're playing Halo Infinite on your phone.
This part isn't about xCloud at all. And more importantly, 5G isn't necessarily any better or more primed for that than 4G was. You can get the necessary amount of bandwidth on 4G for the level of quality they're piping out. Because I'm pretty sure they're only doing 720p streams.
Okay, Dan, all talking about those mobile hotspots you can set up so you can download your games really fast.
Oh, yeah. You'll definitely want to download a 50 gig game on mobile internet. That's something that's not going to ruin
Dan,
your life.
Dan.
What?
80 gig.
You're getting the new Call of Duty 200. Oh, man. So that interview is insane. You can look that up. Matt Booty interview at The Guardian. I recommend anyone reading that just to keep up with what Microsoft is saying nowadays.
Basically, every line is bad and terrible for a different reason.
It's true.
It's true.
You know, he talks about the tech, you know, is no longer limited by that. But this article is also about his reaction to people being disappointed by the Halo Infinite footage, which is limited by being on the Xbox One. But they act like that's not relevant. It's really funny. Mm-hmm. They also said, look, we listen to people. We listen to the best people. We have a team from that gives us core feedback from core fans and esports community. This is seriously something he talks about in this, and it's like, oh man, what are you?
He sounds like Donald Trump. Like the way he talks, like we have the best people. We have the like it just brings up images of how Trump talks in my mind.
That's I see where you're coming from. Yeah.
It's showman bullshit.
The art of game design is figuring out what feedback you're going to incorporate, where to strike a balance, and I think they're well plugged into a big community to do that. It's like,
and yeah, every Halo fan's upset.
But you just you're literally replying to someone who said, so the community seems upset at your game. What the fuck kind of answer
you know,
is that?
I feel like even 343 would be better at like staging these questions, because I just read an interview thing like today where they talked about like the new look that they went. They went, yeah, nobody fucking liked Halo 4, 5 or Halo Wars 2's armor, so we just made it like the old one.
Yeah. No, that's super obviously what they did.
I would give them points. You just said what was obviously the truth and everyone could perceive.
But like they said then, they're like, we know some people may have liked the stuff we did in the recent couple of games, but we're really happy about how well the armor is now resonating with people, saying more people like it like this.
It's really funny to be like, we're sorry to the people who are imaginary who really liked 4 and 5's armor.
Dan, you didn't even have to say armor at the end of that.
Yeah, I know that.
Sometimes Dan has to be kind. He needs to save his real punches for later.
They're imaginary esports league that loves Halo 5.
God help me. We have to.
What is this, good cop, bad cop?
We have to. Yes, it's always that. We have to get out of this news.
We have to escape
and into
more Xbox news, which I'm going to talk about right now.
Oh, no.
Dan, oh, no. Is this the Xbox news that I told you and you started screaming?
Yes. So, the Xbox showcase, was it last week?
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah. Xbox showcase last week, not that great.
Only last week.
Not, you know. Well, Casey, we recorded 8 podcasts between then and now. I got confused.
Yeah.
No. I was going, it's only been a week?
It's okay, guys. We're approaching the light at the end of the tunnel. It's fine now.
But you don't need to be worried. They have many more games they didn't show at that, because inexplicably something they didn't communicate at all, except sort of at the start of that show, not at all in the, you know, the run up and how everybody covered it, making you think this would be where you would see fucking video games.
Yeah.
We saw video games.
This was only games that are day one on Game Pass. So if somebody actually wants to sell their game, like, I don't know, maybe they have confidence in it and it might look really cool, it wasn't fucking here.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of insiders went, hey, so Microsoft actually has a bunch of stuff. And unfortunately, a lot of things were denied, because much like how Sony required you to be able to show your game running on PS5, Microsoft had their own rule where it had to be on Game Pass day one.
Who said that?
That's
who
so applicable.
Who said that and tried to equate those two? The fucking treatment Microsoft is getting, motherfuckers. You better never tell me Sony is getting the fucking kids' gloves. Microsoft just starts acting like selling consoles doesn't matter, and half the media starts going along with it.
Well, unfortunately, you're in this world that is more reality-like, where everyone else is going, it's for Game Pass, it's pro-consumer, they're going for a different approach, and we think different is good.
Sony's condition... Your game has to be running on what we're releasing.
Because basically, if you're in a situation, Phil, in which if you're saying that what their approach to doing is bad, it means you're saying, okay, so you don't like a platform in which they're giving you things for free.
But they're not
giving you a better serve.
They're not giving you things for free because you're paying them for a monthly subscription, which is over $10 a month when it's Game Pass Ultimate at bare minimum. I can't remember what the normal price is. But... at the end of a generation, if you're relying on Game Pass the whole time, you own nothing.
Yeah, but no one's thinking about that. They're just thinking about how, it's, you know, you get all these games.
All they're thinking about at any point in time is, does this disrupt things? And then everyone in California who writes for a living starts getting a stiffy.
Dan, are you going to shoot Silicon Valley in the knees again?
I'm going to do that right now once we're done talking about Microsoft.
Well,
well, we actually have one more bit of news.
Before we move on to that.
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
How many times can Microsoft come out and say, here is our big game showcase, fall on their face, and then still expect us to be excited next time they have a big game showcase?
Well, evidently it's working twice for most journalists, so...
It's crazy. Like, after that last one ended, they're like, oh, well, that wasn't really it. And then that happened again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, there's another one in August. Don't worry about it.
Phil Spencer on like a podcast interview was talking about their backwards compatibility stuff and like some of the boosts that games are going to get, and talking about just they have a lot of stuff to show, and they're like, August is going to be a real special month where they got some really cool stuff to show. So here we are, we're in the cycle again in Mulligan.
You know, this is double insane because yes, Sony's going to show more stuff. So I believe Microsoft has more stuff.
I don't.
But
I'll be honest, okay. I don't.
But the thing about that Sony show, every single game they showed that was by Sony that wasn't a third party, I can safely assume will probably be out in the first year.
Yeah. Yeah, they said basically that, yeah.
I can safely assume all of them will at least... Oh, we'll get above a 77.
Also, but then Microsoft's like, here's our bullshit show where nothing has a date. If they do a second show where stuff starts to have dates, they're fucking morons.
I mean,
you show the stuff that's gonna come out first.
And then KZ said earlier, what are you talking about? They showed games. KZ, on average, they did not. The average thing they showed in that showcase wasn't a game.
I think the only games we got were Halo and Medium.
They were trailers for what they call games.
Everything else was a CG thing.
Yeah, those are games.
No, that's a video.
Wasn't Forza actually running? It was just
in- it was oh, in well,
let's,
engine.
Let's not do debate team shit of like it's not a game. It's an announcement for a video game.
In as much as that game they canceled before they even showed up at the E3 was. Microsoft yes. is the last fucking company I'm trusting. One, they won't tell us any details about Everwild, Fable, or Forza's new gameplay dynamic at all. If they're not ready to commit, if they're not ready to commit to that level, that shows how early in development these are, they could easily get canned.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm saying it's if I'm going to say those don't count, I'm going to say every CG trailer doesn't count, and I'm not one of those guys, so I'm not going to do that.
No, KZ, it's different. Microsoft lost the trust. Microsoft lost the ability for me to be able to confidently say, that's a CG trailer, but that will probably come out.
And it's also different this year because this is a console launch year.
And they have jack shit to show. That's why it's important. We need to underscore that, which in a second here, we will, because we have a showcase of the great lineup of next generation games for the Xbox.
Oh, no. It's this time.
Yeah, I just don't feel like saying these CG trailers don't count, regardless of whether or not they'll end up coming out or their track record, because I'm just like, there's a lot of things to beat up on Microsoft for.
And this is one of them because they're getting directly compared to Sony Showcase a month earlier.
Yeah, and every yes. single trailer is a CG trailer. Like, that
doesn't
matter.
State of Decay 3. How fucking soon?
Yes.
Like, that doesn't look anything like the game. Like, State of Decay games aren't by and large like that. It's clearly an outsourced visual concept CGI trailer that has no bearing on gameplay. It has no date. That thing has to be insanely early in development because State of Decay 2 came out, what, 2019? Like, that's why it matters this time. You show me Project Athia, and you go, okay, one, that's clearly running in real time. Two, I trust that Square Enix will ship a game. Microsoft, I don't, because they lost my trust. And look at Halo Infinite, the game they had to show. This is dire. This whole situation is fucked. But anyway, let's just roll on to the leak. Website called Smith's Toys, which is apparently some UK retailer, posted a listing for the Xbox Series X, gave it a nice little fancy page, putting all sorts of specs and PR stuff up for it. But weirdly enough, they posted a picture of Halo Infinite. And under this picture, it says, the legendary Halo series returns with the most expansive Master Chief campaign yet. And this is where it gets interesting, a groundbreaking free-to-play multiplayer experience. Enjoy up to 120 frames per second and greatly reduced load times, creating seamless gameplay with the Xbox Series X. So apparently a toy shop just leaked the multiplayer for Halo Infinite is free to play.
Maybe.
That's what it seems to have happened.
Yeah, if it's 120 FPS, that's super fucking cool. That's
the coolest
thing about Halo Infinite by a mile.
Yeah, absolutely.
I 100% believe this, and this is why they waited.
Yeah.
This is why they didn't show it at all, because they're going to show you the multiplayer. They're going to do all, they're going to be like, here are the features, 120 FPS. They'll show you a couple of maps, some gameplay of it, of some sort. I don't know if they'll do like some live demo or like get pros to play it for you or something.
I feel like another year they would have done that for sure. Oh,
yeah.
God.
And then they'll go, and it's free. Like, that's going to be like their mic drop thing that it will, has like much less impact now that we know that.
It also just loses a lot of impact because it's like the game is almost free to play because we put it on Game Pass, and if you don't own that, you shouldn't own our console.
They do kind of have that tone now. Yeah
they do.
I mean, the whole fuck's sake, for fuck's sake, yeah, the whole thing we just talked about, their July showing, was that. So
is Halo Infinite open world because they decided on this first and they're like, how do we justify people paying $60 for just a Halo campaign?
Halo Infinite is open world because they have no idea what they're fucking doing.
I'm trying to be nice. It's
because they're trying to make their own like Destiny style thing with a big open area, and it has a 10-year plan.
Yeah, I really think you're gonna download the free to play multiplayer thing, and you're gonna load it, and it'll be like, would you like to buy the campaigns? And they're all gonna be at the top as they get released, and they'll be like $40 each.
Yeah, I don't. It's just like the Master Chief Collection, like they said.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
It'll be like a gotcha or something. There's a little banner that like cycles through the campaign episodes.
And the thing that's nuts is like
the Fortnite outfit for Chief.
Now, here's because one of the things they said today was Halo Infinite will not have pay money loot boxes.
Thank God.
They said that. What if this free multiplayer counts as a different thing?
No, it just has a battle pass, because even Microsoft knows loot boxes are going to get outlawed in a lot of countries pretty soon. It's going to have a battle pass.
Just, I always have to go to the most horrible place.
I think they said in an interview this past week that they're not doing the rec stuff anymore. Like the requisition packs, which were their loot boxes from 5.
Well, that's smart of them to not do anything from 5, because that didn't take off at all.
Stop talking about Halo 5, please.
I have to. This is Halo 6.
Every time you do, I just think of like you're always 4 people at once, and I'm like, oh, why did they do that? That's so fucking horrible.
You know, honestly, you think that's horrible, but Infinite already looks so much worse.
You think that where they're, even though this is an open world game, you just think the multiplayer is like still 3v3 or whatever that nonsense in 5 was.
Oh God, no! It's Destiny 2 at launch.
No way. It's just, they're just going to be like copying 3.
Yeah, I assume they're going to try to go for something more like 3, but with too much of 5 in it.
I mean, you have running.
Yeah.
Yeah. That clip of that dude screaming, no, they're sprinting. No. That's
pretty funny. I don't have that adverse of a reaction to Master Chief running, but I totally get it, and it's funny.
Yeah, given how much they're trying to make it look like older Halos, the armor's designed like that, I feel like they're just trying their best to roll backward as much as they can.
But then they made gigantic areas, so if Chief can't run, it's like, oh it's gonna take an hour if you left your truck.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. That's really funny. Could you imagine doing the cartographer mission, but you don't have a warthog? Holy shit. Anyway, further down on the Smith's Toys.
That'll be the multiplayer maps, will be the open world things like the gearbox.
Oh, cool. We're bringing back the gearbox level.
Maybe it'll be like 60 players.
Do you think it'll be like Halo Reach, where all the multiplayer levels are just things you do objectives on in the game?
Oh, no, please. Further down on the Smith's Toys website, they had a great lineup of next generation games, and they made this 4x3 grid. So we're just going to step through these because it kind of underscores the problem with the series.
I'll make a sound each time.
I believe Bob will too, whether or not he intends to. You feel free to say a word. You can say words. Okay. The other two only get to emote.
Okay.
Fable.
Ooh.
No date.
Forza Motorsport.
Hmm.
No date.
Senua's Saga Hellblade 2.
Ooh.
No date.
Cyberpunk.
Ooh.
On everything cross-gen.
Oh. Destiny 2 Beyond Light.
Ooh.
On everything cross-gen.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Hmm.
On everything.
State of Decay 3.
Ugh.
No date.
Everwild.
No date. They don't know what it is.
I'm breaking the rules. Kill me.
Psychonauts 2.
Mm. On everything, they have Microsoft has nothing to do with it.
Also no date.
No, they have a lot to do with it. It's called bosses.
They do have a date. They do have a date, Bob. It's projected 2021. That narrows it down to a year. Something none of the others I said no date for had.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty dire. Gears Tactics.
All right, that's not out.
That's not out on a console. It's only out on PC.
Wait.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, oh, Bob fucking played that.
I was stroking out a little bit, yeah.
Watch Dogs Legion.
Ooh.
On everything cross-gen.
And Crossfire X.
Hmm.
So you notice...
What are you going about?
It's random Chinese game, KZ.
Well, it's a Remedy.
Remedy doing the
player.
Campaign
that's
is cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That campaign would be cool.
So what we just discovered is either it's on everything and cross-gen, or it has no date. That's literally this entire list. And when we say it has no date, we mean it is almost guaranteed for everything outside of Forza that shit isn't even shipping next year.
Yeah, we don't even know if the other things are actually in development.
Everwild has to be. Fable, I'm so scared of. That should have been gameplay.
Dan, they said they don't know what Everwild is. How much can it be in development?
It's Rare saying that, so that means it comes out next year and there's no content.
It comes out and it's not really a game, it's just a world.
Yeah, it's a Sea of Thieves
this
again.
Gen 5 Rare is something.
Bring
back the Kinect Sports Rare.
They need to just fire everyone at Rare and get a new, like, fill the studio with someone who wants to make a video game.
I mean, look, I guess Sea of Thieves does something for Microsoft. I don't know. But they really should get a studio that
makes Rare games.
Can ship a game. One, yes, absolutely. 100%. They should.
Why the fuck did they buy them?
Because
they thought they would own Donkey Kong. They admitted this.
No way. What?
What?
I forgot that was the whole thing where a Microsoft exec was walking through the offices of Rare. And basically it was looking at there was a little Donkey Kong statue or picture or something. It's like, we have that now, right?
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
That's a thing. That's...
yeah, what the fuck? What is his name? Sivor said that he went to Rare to do a tour and saw all the Donkey Kong posters and man, we own that now. That's fucking great. And then Rare had to be like, no.
Wow.
What a fucking idiot.
Wow. This is more incompetent than ever.
I'm not convinced this is actually true because it still could be, but it sounds exactly like a story we know for sure is real back when Marvel got bought in the 80s, where the guy walked in after buying Marvel and said, "We now own Superman."
Executives are stunningly stupid. Incredibly, yeah. So that lineup is a dire image I didn't need to see in a 4x3 grid because God, is it desperate.
So Psychonauts 2 is funny. I was listening to an interview with Tim Schafer this week, and I thought of Feel because it was Greg Miller talking to him about the delay, and Tim Schafer, in the nicest way possible, was basically seemed like he was of the attitude of, if you think delays are bad, you're brain dead. He's like, of course, okay. Do you want the game to be bad? Had to delay. And it was like, you can't do this, dude. You delay all of them.
Yeah, I agree with him on paper, but Tim Schafer, you were blacklisted by every publisher in the entire industry for being unable to deliver things either. You couldn't meet either qualifier of on time or within budget. You always broke both. That's why you had to go to Kickstarter, because nobody wanted to take your shit because you're so bad at it.
The interview was like talking about their whole career and stuff. So it seemed really interesting from the perspective of it sounded like every publisher they went through tried to screw them in some way or ruin their entire company. So it's very funny hearing that perspective, because I've only ever heard, you know, he's bad with money and never delivered anything.
Look, I think we can admit that reality is definitely smack dab in both camps, just like with Platinum, where I don't think Platinum is a 10 out of 10 perfectly sturdy studio that's never shipped the game that was kind of rough, but also Microsoft tried to fuck them to death.
They did.
Tim Schafer did make a joke that Xbox tried to murder them once, so it's funny that he came back.
Yep.
I'm not gonna put judgment on what's true and what's false. I'm just gonna say that what the situation Tim Schafer described is very similar to Platinum and Obsidian, and people were still lined up to work with both.
So somebody, if you're listening and you're super bored, make a 4x3 grid of PS5 games that are fucking next-gen games. Thank you.
No! No!
And tweet it at all four of us.
Hold off. Feel four times.
hold off a couple days because Sony might be doing another show that week.
No, Feel, that means they can make two.
Yes.
They can make two.
Fuck. Anyways, I'll cover my
That grid will have God of War 2 and Silent Hill on it.
Covering my news, Nintendo had what they're calling the Giga Leak. There have been two waves of this. It's source code and assets and all sorts of things for really old games pouring out of Nintendo. We got the original quality of the voice lines from Star Fox 64. We've got original quality assets from those games to Star Fox 2 source code, Star Fox 1 source code, Super Mario 64, Yoshi's Island. It's all really fascinating, really interesting. It's been really cool to look into. I have no way to do content on any of this. Like,
it's really cool that we see Luigi in Mario 64 now.
Yeah. It's funny because people found the assets and then just made him work in the 64 PC port.
Right.
I really hope we get a Zelda Ocarina of Time PC port out of this. I want to play that game at locked 30.
That'd be pretty crazy.
It would be fantastic. But yeah, we've been getting lots of cool behind-the-scenes stuff. Completely unrelated to that. Completely unrelated. It came out that Tails Sky Patrol apparently was supposed to be a Disney game because the final boss in the beta is Pete.
I love Pete. Big jaw.
I had a stroke because I was like, of course it was a crappy Disney game before it was a crappy Tails game. I don't know how I would have found that out otherwise, but god damn it.
Yeah, that really makes it make more sense, because it's like, this is bad even for a Sonic spinoff.
Yeah, if anyone would like to check that out, we did a Sonic Month video on that back in whenever we did Sonic Month. I think that was 2017. I don't know anymore, but go check that out.
I thought that was the one you liked.
No. Tails Adventure is the good one. Tails Sky Patrol is a cash-in nightmare.
I've been thinking Tails Adventure was that game.
Because
I've seen that before.
Oh, no. Okay. Tails Adventure is fantastic. It's a really great game. Oh, my God. Tails Sky Patrol is a real disappointment.
Voiced by Cat from CatDog.
You get to the end and Robotnik's like, what do you think you're doing here, Tails?
Tails Sky Patrol is literal. Casey is literally 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's bad.
I've seen footage of that. It looked bad. So whenever he talked about it, I was like, oh, there must be some hidden gem quality, or the bouncer.
What are you talking about? The bouncer is a hidden gem.
Move on to the next piece of news.
Ian from Pat the NES Punks podcast agrees. That man has excellent taste.
Whatever, he's on drugs.
Why are you shaming people who take medication, Casey?
I was just assuming weed, not medication, but whatever.
Anyways, moving on. We got some analog news from the company who makes the FPGA consoles, who has the worst name in the industry, Analog. announced that the Analog Pocket is not shipping this year. It is, in fact, shipping next year, despite their ad saying for a year straight that it would ship this year. They also
redesigned it
so that way the start and select are at the bottom of the console, fixing the problem that I was talking about. So that way for games on the Game Boy original that require you to maybe hit it with your left hand, it's a lot more feasible than it was before, because basically they hid the start, select, and favorite buttons, which I assume is a home button, but it looks like a heart. They put that where your hand would be, like way below your thumb. So it was the most uncomfortable thing in the world to hit. And I'm like, that's a major design problem. So is the shoulder buttons that look like they'll rub up against the Game Boy Advance cartridges. But they seem to have not redesigned that part. So it might still be questionable. Either way, pre-orders open on August 3rd, which is probably when this comes out. Let me check. Yeah. Yeah, those pre-orders went up and probably sold out this morning, but who knows? Or actually, this podcast will come out just in time to warn you, so stay at your computer, I guess. But yeah, they're going to do a set of pre-orders, so that way you can get it for next year. Feel, I have some great news for you. I retweeted it, and I'm not sure you saw it. Analog is now...
Is it the notifications? Yes, I signed up for all of one.
So, Analog added to their website the ability to get notified when things come back in stock. Which, thank God, because people just want to buy a Super NT. They don't want to face hump your website until it appears. So, thank you, Analog. Last bit of news for me. There's a new Castlevania mobile title made by a Chinese company known for making a knockoff Castlevania mobile title, which was called Codename C.
Is this good news?
It's despair. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, they're using
the
assets.
Didn't they shut down something that looked good and a lot had really great art to make this?
Yes, that game had excellent art. It looks like this thing is going to be made with that game's assets, but they never brought that game to the United States, which really fucking sucks.
Yeah, it came to Canada and something else.
Why do this?
I'm sorry, Dan.
Konami has no idea. Speaking of news where Konami has no idea, did you guys hear they're making PCs in Japan?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's grossly overpriced. It's nuts how overpriced it is. It's fucking weird. What was the name? Ares Par? It's such a bad name. I'm going to type that in and see if I remembered it. Konami. Ares Spear, all one word, is the name of their Japanese PC brand.
Why?
I don't know. If it's Konami making a PC, I want a Konami logo. This is what this shit looks like, guys. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to know that's Konami? You fucking stupid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you're selling out and then you don't even know how. Idiots.
They just need to put a little left, right, up, down, BA, start.
That's better than like what Stadia. They're doing. That's better than what they're doing.
No, that's a Google Stadia thing.
Okay, so I hate this logo.
You know what I hate worse? I found out why they named it Ares Spear and I want to die.
It looks like a fucking protractor.
And you guys will want to die too. There you go. Advanced Revolution of Esports.
Oh.
Man, colored, it looks even more like... Hello, company that makes school supplies that has a ruler up along the top of the head and a protractor is the center of the helmet.
Stop being so mean.
Sorry, I'm just thirsting for blood this episode for some reason.
Yeah, that looks like a fucking college. Like,
yeah, it does look more like something you'd see at a community college.
It looks like a logo I'd see a lot at a book fair in elementary school.
Konami's teaming up with ITT Tech.
KZ and I sit together and read Goosebumps.
Yeah,
that's
we
okay.
Dream of going to Collins College.
That's okay. Me and Bob, we're reading Garfield.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd be into Bone.
Bone? What is that? I know of the TV show Bones.
It was like a series of like comic books that they would like graphic novel style things that they would release at book fairs when I was in school.
Yeah, Bone was like a graphic novel series.
That was the thing I saw people gravitate toward when I was in school, alongside with the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, these!
It won a bunch of awards because it's real good.
Oh, okay. No,
Telltale made two episodes, and then I think it got canceled. or they just only made two, which is weird considering what that company.
That's unfortunate.
Well, that's all of my news. Let's go to Bob for his. Hey, Bob.
Sure.
What's up?
In Samurai Showdown news that makes no sense this week.
Oh, God. It's happening again.
They're
adding Gong Song Li from Honor of Kings, a Chinese mobile game from Tencent. It's free DLC out August 5th. She's this like anime cat girl with an umbrella.
What are they doing? This doesn't make sense. Free DLC means Tencent gave them fucking money.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
Oh shit.
It's insane, but at least they're not charging us for it.
I like how the international Twitter account posted this news and included from massively successful Chinese mobile game. This is why this is here, so you understand. Honor of Kings.
Yeah. I'll play it because
this
free.
Paid for four characters.
I'm excited to see something else come after this, please. Yeah, I don't want the last two things for this game to be for Honor Men and
whatever this is.
In this.
And Honor of Kings. We need another honor related.
Are there any games left with honor in the title?
Oh, man. We got to look it up.
The next DLC.
Medal of Honor Warfighter.
The next DLC is going to be announced, and it's going to have an announcement trailer with a live action blonde woman with a large chest saying, "We're under fucking attack."
You'll just be Jin's uncle from Ghost of Tsushima. He's all about honor.
God, I'm kind of sad that Sony already started doing like mobile tie-ins, stopped doing mobile tie-ins earlier this gen. So, or did they do it at all this gen? Was it like Uncharted 3 that had the runner?
I think they did a little bit at the very beginning of this gen and then just dropped
it
completely.
Yeah, Knack was the last one I can think of.
Now
yeah,
I'm Knack just imagining the official Ghost of Tsushima mobile game that's just Lord Shimura going, "We are under attack."
You see, my brain was just thinking of Jin Sakai and Samurai Showdown.
That would be cool. That would make way more sense.
Okay, let's see. Google tricked From Software to update Sekiro?
Wait, what?
Yes. Yeah, they're putting out an update to everything on October 29th.
Yeah, just in time for that Stadia version.
Wait, so
for
you
my
think... Bob, are you telling me that Google paid the money to put features in their version of the game and that every version's getting it? Is that the takeaway here?
That's what it seems like, just because this is we heard about this just after that other thing, the Stadia announcement, and it's coming to all versions. And it seems weird to just not do anything with the game for a whole year. But who knows? Yeah. It could just be coincidence. Could be.
Okay, so what are we getting?
We're getting Reflections of Strengths, which is lets you rematch bosses so you can practice at them.
You sit down to do your haiku and you reflect on this bullshit boss fight?
Yes. The Gauntlet of Strengths, which sounds like it's just going to be a boss rush, but they didn't come out and say it outright.
Okay.
They did, I think, in a further thing. They even said that if you die at all, you have to start over.
Yeah, the wording was super weird and it made it even sound like it could be something other than bosses. They're like, oh, you can do the other thing to get ready for it. But it's almost certainly just a boss rush. There are going to be three new outfits. Some of them come from this boss rush mode, and then the one comes from beating the game. And then systems are called Remnants, which lets people like save 30 minutes of gameplay and share it with other people online, kind of like in Dark Souls when you find a bloodstain and see what happened to somebody before they died. But it's something you can just set up. So it's like, okay, this is a good way to sneak through this area and you can share it and it'll be like ghost data you can follow.
Oh, weird. I thought this was the create button.
This is a nice evolution of the bloodstain thing where it's like, make a thing.
Yeah, no, it makes more sense.
Which is going to make some really good troll ones where it's like, oh, look at all this great tech. And then you jump off the cliff.
Yes, there will definitely be a lot of that. I assume many of these would be, okay, this is how you swim through the air. This is how you do an infinite and fly away.
Jesus.
I'm gonna play through this game again when PS5 comes out, because boss rematches, I think, is dope.
Yeah, this is neat stuff. It seems like really minor extra features.
It's so long after the game came out. I'm like, it's insane that it's 18 months.
Also, they're doing it in Japan only so far, a Game of the Year edition that just includes the stuff on the disc. Yeah, it's like, okay, it's a free update, but hey, if you don't want to have to download, here you go.
I heard about from my our local neighborhood From Souls. Dark Souls.
From Souls.
Yeah, I'm
super
trying to
fan,
remember Bloodborne.
Basically.
Bloodborne FromSoft hacker dude. He was like, they put out new content so that way everyone who wants to hack this game apart now has to deal with the PS4 update being newer. So it undoes their ability to hack it. They have to get a newer jailbreak, basically. And I think that's really funny.
Unpog. Monk ass.
But yeah, I might go back to it once PS5 comes out. Of course, that means I'd have to buy the PlayStation 4 version, which I'm not sure. I don't know if I actually want to play through that game again.
Ugh. Yeah, I already once I found out they were doing no DLC, I traded in because I'm like, you don't have different weapons. I could play it again, but it would just be the exact same experience.
Yeah.
Except devoid of discovery.
And then the last thing I got here, Disgaea 4 Complete Plus coming to PC this fall.
That's the Switch version?
Yeah, that's the newer version they did for Switch and PS4 and stuff.
It's one of Nippon Ichi Software of America's ports where they're like, we need money.
Yeah.
When are they gonna do 3? They haven't done.
I don't know.
Three
they need
yet.
To fucking do 3. 3 is my favorite one. Fucking 3. 3's
great. 3's the goat.
I think they're afraid of doing 3 because then they might feel like they have some onus to make it like the 4 and 5 graphical quality, but I don't.
Just, they all those characters they made in high resolution for DLC characters. Just swap it in like you did Disgaea 1 Complete. It's literally the exact same amount of work as that was.
Yeah. Yeah, no. They should do it.
I didn't finish that one, but I enjoyed what I played. Played like a third of that.
Maybe the intro song's too expensive to license.
I don't think that's it.
That's a good song.
God, it is. What a banger.
Just give me an option for the original sprites, because they kind of obliterated a lot of details I liked when they made the new ones. Did you know that Mao, the protagonist, takes off his glasses and puts them on his shirt collar on the PS3 sprites, but he doesn't do that in the Super HD ones?
God damn it.
Huh. I never noticed because they're so pixelated, it's hard to tell.
I don't know what you're talking about. When they're that pixelated, that's when it stands out. That giant square just changed colors. Okay, let's...
I liked the Prinny Can I Really Be the Hero DLC that they added to Disgaea 3, where that Prinny shows up and is like, please buy my game. Please think about it, please.
You know, someday, some fucking day, here's something you should port to PC. The visual novel.
Oh, Disgaea Infinite or something else?
Disgaea Infinite.
Okay.
Which I intermittently remember exists, but I'm like, but I've never played, because it was on the, it's only on PSP.
Yeah, I think I bought it. I don't think I ever played it, though.
I think that's also my case. I don't remember if I bought it or it's like, I have a custom firmware PSP. Let's do that.
All right.
Walmart of Canada is baiting people who are interested in pre-ordering the PS5.
Oh my God. What?
They're like, hey, are you ready for the PS5 pre-orders to open up? Stay in the loop and secure a PlayStation 5 on day one by signing up for these updates. Fucking losing at these bastards.
It's happening in August. It's happening.
It's happening.
Sony said, we will give you warning. So I'm assuming if they do that event in this next week, they're going to tell us the price and tell us what day they open, and I can just sleep outside GameStop that night.
I love that you're acting as if, like, they won't betray me. They promised.
They promised.
I would like to cover some news that's kind of tech, but it's really short. So I occasionally listen to Moore's Law is Dead. It's a all right YouTube channel, pretty decent. Him and his co-host that was joining, or his guest that was joining him for that episode, which was NX Gamer or NX Tech. I can't remember. Sorry. It's a bad name. Anyways, they were having a very technical podcast. It's like 2.5 hours long. And at one point they say two different things. One, neither of them expect the performance between these two fucking consoles to be that different, which is reasonable. 15% is jack shit, and the difference there can be made up by an API, as I talked about in that latest
episode. An appy.
Yes, an appy. As I that brought up
episode of The Rant is Go that Dan will put it in the description to boost his views because he should.
Yeah, I should do that. Okay.
He'll remember.
I'll remember. So there's that. And then the second thing, which is hyper relevant to what we were just talking about, if these guys were not scared of each other, they would have announced their prices by now. They are absolutely sitting there with their hand on their gun this whole time with these pre-orders. They would have announced the price of the pre-order if they were just going to be pricing super comfortably. So there's still the chance that one of these companies is just pricing unbelievably low. Do you guys think, because this may be the last stop for us guessing, do you think we live in a world where they may go 400? Bob?
You know, I'm going to believe. I'm going to show it out there. It's possible. One of them might do it.
Feel.
I still think the PS5 is going to be $500 and have back compat.
KZ.
I think the PS5 is going to do some weird shit. Digital's 400. The real one's 450.
I think that's about where I'm landing too. Where it's
they
like,
will go absolutely deranged with it, and yeah. Have a console with a five with a $50 like endpoint.
They're not the first. The Wii was $250.
The GameCube was $250 as well, I remember correctly.
Was it? I thought it was $199.
Yeah, it's either $250 or $200. The N64 was $200. I think the GameCube was $250.
It was $199.
Okay. What am I thinking of? Was the Wii $250?
Yeah, the Wii was $250.
Okay. So that's where I'm mixing it up.
Was the 3DS $300?
No, the 3DS was $250, and then they chopped it down to $170 by the summer.
Wow.
It was funny, too, because I was screaming that thing was insanely overpriced for what it was when it came out, and everyone was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. It comes out, it starts bombing, they cut the price, and I'm like, see? So if Microsoft announces the Series X at a high price, we're going to have a repeat of that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that happened basically with the Xbox One, but they just don't
it did.
They pretend it didn't. Like,
they don't care about sales on the console. They just want those subscriptions, so they're going to sell for $900.
If it happens to the Series X this time, it's really going to hurt, because last time it was just like, take out the fucking Kinect.
Right.
They even did it with the Xbox One X, which is like, it's $500. Like, 5 months later, it's on sale for $400.
I mean, nobody bought a Series X, so...
Whoa.
Not Series X.
Yeah, that's going to go completely different this time, Bob. Also, earlier in the week off content, we had the conversation of Sony may have sold more PlayStation VRs than Microsoft did Xbox One X's.
Stop it!
That's nuts.
And also, yes, probably.
They sold 5 million PSVRs.
As of almost a year ago, right?
Yeah, as of December. Okay. As of December.
Okay, I thought it was September, and but yeah, as of December.
So that means more than 10% of Xbox Ones in the wild.
Who's ever worked retail,
Xbox One.
Everyone who's ever worked retail tells me they don't sell 1 to 10 even.
I can tell you from experience, those VRs moved a lot faster than One X's did.
So that's kind of nuts, because their entire strategy this next gen is hinged on 1X as a brand, right? Like, oh, we're the most powerful, we're the most big dick console. Then they show Halo Infinite and people get really confused. Man, this is a nightmare. We need to move on, so we're moving on. Feel.
Yeah.
Talk about the first bullet that's up there. God.
Read it all.
So, I'll give it context first. Cuphead is now out on PS4. The night before they announced that, it leaked. And I wrote this in our news document. Cuphead popped up on the PS Store internationally, but as of me writing this, it hasn't been able to be loaded yet. Please, God, don't let the next time we see Delicious Last Course be at a Sony announcement. Microsoft, please. Please don't give me anxiety. I'm writing this Monday night. Please, God.
What's funny is I missed every leak for this.
Oh, wow.
So when Jeff revealed it, I was like, holy fuck. And then I come in here and black out. Just reading Phil's thing like, oh my God, this is incredible.
This is kind of nuts.
So,
but yeah, it's on PS4. The DLC, when it's finally out, will be just, it'll be on all platforms at the same time.
Yep.
They, God. So, KZ, talk about the Private Division thing real quick, because I want to segue into, does Microsoft just fuck everyone they work with?
Yeah, so Private Division, which is 2K's, like, indie publisher, where it's, like, smaller scale games. They did, like, Outer Worlds and stuff. They announced some publishing deals with a few different studios, the most high-profile one being Moon Studios, that did the Ori games, and they're going to do an action RPG, and that's their next game.
It just feels like, does anybody worked with Microsoft and not been owned by them? Has Microsoft pegged anybody, like, do this work for us? And then that company comes out being like, yeah, that's fine. That was a good experience. We were happy. Both sides were happy with that partnership.
I don't know. It seems like Sony kind of has that problem, too. Like, being perfectly frank, outside of Insomniac. Because if you look at the people who made Flow, and then Flower, and then Journey, like, the way they describe making Journey was nightmarish. And Sony's involvement in that, they're very critical of. The people who made, what was it, Until Dawn, clearly bailed almost immediately because, well, I don't blame them at all. Like, look at what Sony did to them marketing-wise. They just shipped the game and didn't even talk about it, and then it blew up. Sony has a track record of that now between Demon's Souls and Until Dawn, so that's kind of funny. I would say Microsoft pulled a Demon's Souls moment with Cuphead. Because I feel like they didn't care as much about Cuphead as you feel like they should have.
As Ori.
And Ori,
They obviously cared about Ori more because they own Ori.
Yeah.
They don't own Cuphead, and that's it's obviously they don't own it because it's on everything, and it's not published everything. By them.
Yeah.
It's not published by them on PC.
It's on every... That studio must be, like, losing their minds at how good things are going.
They took triple mortgages out on their house to finish that game. You bet their ass they are ecstatic.
Did it pay off, like, they're talking up their Netflix show.
Cuphead got in Smash like a year after his game came out as a costume, but still.
Yeah.
As a specialty costume, and one of the songs is in the game.
They even have, like, there's tons of memorabilia you can buy.
Yeah,
like it. They hit every front,
and it's great.
I can drink them.
What?
It's like Microsoft must. Yeah, you can. I'm sure you can buy their.
Yeah,
heads,
you buy the mugs.
Mugs.
Oh, that's cool.
I meant to say this during the Pod Lords when he popped up. Does anybody else say, like, between Cuphead and Mugman, Cuphead is much more likely to say a racial slur?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Like, just go watch the previews of the Netflix stuff. The animation itself also portrays him as that.
I mean, yeah, he's a more edgy one. Makes him cooler.
I like Mugman because sometimes before you start a boss battle, he drinks himself.
Oh yeah, no, like, that shit's hilarious.
That's fun. That's kind of scary.
They drink it because they show in the intro he's pouring like a triple X bottle, like a jug, into his head. So he's just getting trashed before he fights, presumably thinking he's going to die.
Yes, he's very scared.
But yeah, I'm super excited for this. I may buy it again.
I did. I bought it 3 times.
Oh, wow. I only bought it once.
Decided to have a controller with a good D-pad for the game.
Oh, wow. What a thought. And then we get another controller with another prominent D-pad placement for the game.
Whoa.
On the PS5.
Whoa.
It better feel like the fucking feet of D-pad. God damn it. Anyways, moving on.
Calm down.
No, that's the best D-pad in the world.
I know it is.
It would be so nice. Feel, let's talk about your next bit of news, so that way Caliban can be relevant to the podcast.
Okay, Asterisk and Obelisk XXL Romastered.
Why?
Was announced for because they fight the Romans.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I had to question this entire week whether you can't spell or whether it's dumb.
Yeah, it's Romastered. Was announced for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC out October 2nd. I'm only mentioning this at all because go watch Dan and Bob's Game Boy Advance Roulette, where they play the Game Boy Advance version of this game, which is insane.
It is absolutely insane. Let me go see if that's in 1 or 2, because someone just did timestamps for 1, and I put them in the description, so that way it's easily parsable now. And while I do that, talk about your Moon RPG thing.
Okay, so Moon RPG was a PS1 RPG described as an anti-RPG. I believe they said it was somewhat, I believe Toby Fox at some point mentioned it talking about Undertale, so very influential, you know, even though it wasn't localized. They, as we talked about a few months ago, it's just getting localized and put on Switch, which is, you know, 24-year-old PS1 game. That comes out August 27th. So that's really cool. I definitely intend to play that.
Okay. I still haven't checked out that game. I really need to. Apparently, it is not in the Retro Roulette one for Game Boy Advance. The other ones aren't timestamped. So I'm guessing it's in 3. Either way, you should watch Retro Roulette. We play a lot of really cool games. We'll play a video game.
Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku.
And that Yu Yu Hakusho game.
That, God.
I gotta make you do a 4-hour death stream of that game.
That Yu Yu Hakusho game is in the first one, and it is timestamped, so people should go check that out.
I will, nothing in any game that you will ever play will call, I'm sorry that I wasn't there, because the sound, I mean on audio, you will never hear the sound I made when you used a light switch to turn off fire.
Yes, no, that is so perfect.
I got to get you through the rest of that, because I paid $40.
Oh my God!
To play that game.
Oh yeah, Feel's last bit of news actually got me excited. I was happy. Never thought it would have happened.
Metal Gear Solid 5 has a secret ending, or cutscene rather. It plays when when nobody online has a nuke. Because you have, what? There's like a base, there is a base building, base defending online element of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things you can do is you can build a nuke. And you can use the nuke to just completely destroy somebody else's base. Just completely fuck their shit. So, and the only reason you might not do that is because they might have a nuke and own your shit also. So it's like a virtual version of mutually assured destruction. Nuclear deterrence is a big theme in the Metal Gear series. But there's a special cutscene that plays if nobody has a nuke, if there's complete disarmament. Presumably somebody has to at least build a nuke and before you can even potentially get it. But basically when total nuclear disarmament has happened, you get this scene, and the PS3 finally legitimately activated the scene for, and then immediately 30 people built nukes, but still,
yeah
they got it.
I never thought it would have fucking happened. That's it, nuts.
Possible on the PS3.
It is literally not possible on PC because people who were banned do not have their stuff deleted.
Oh, those idiots. Those fucking morons.
But PC is the way we hacked it out of the game and watched it, though.
Yeah, yeah, we knew about it like almost as soon as the game came out because people just data mined it. But yeah.
This is cool. Why'd they do this?
Huh. Gamers achieved something all the politicians couldn't. Really makes you think.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
Donate to my webcomic at patreon.com/stupiddipshit.
You ever notice how these violent cops are never gamers?
That fucking tweet from Feel killed me. By the way, I included in the description a direct link to the Asterix and Obelix Game Boy Advance game, because that shit's cutting edge in a way you don't expect to see on a fucking Game Boy Advance.
It's surreal.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. Anyways, KZ, you know what else is nuts? That first bullet of news.
Okay, this shocked the shit out of me. So apparently, like, some ancient ritual has taken place that is going to bring back G4, the television network for gamers.
I'm going to need that an ancient evil has awakened thing, but with Kevin Pereira's face in the sky.
They got to bring back all the big hits. Bring back Filter, back when it was a countdown show and not about sexy women.
Question mark?
Yeah. They can bring back Cheat, the most useless TV show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I loved it. Which, it was less about... It was a mix of cheats as well as tips and guides on various games.
That sounds like a horrible concept for a TV show.
It's a really bad TV show, yeah.
I got a lot of help on Kingdom Hearts 1 from that show.
So here's what I'm going to say. There's evidence that some of the executives over at WWE that got Dan Reichert involved over there is involved with this G4 thing. So I'm going to need you guys to bring over Xavier Woods. I'm going to need to see Dan Reichert. I'm going to want X-Play with Dan Reichert trying to write that.
Yes, that's the only
Dan Reichert being this era's Adam Sessler would be the greatest thing in the world.
It would.
This is the only possible universe where I give a shit about it coming back as if Dan Reichert is writing it.
It's the only way that it won't just be toxic and disgusting again,
and,
I think.
And my last pick, and this one's the most important, weirdly enough, I'm going to need you to give us Attack of the Show.
Oh my god.
We have a lot of things to attack.
You need to surrender Attack of the Show to this podcast platform right now. We will absolutely come over and Dan, go do that for you.
Dan, are you trying to get the rights to Attack of the Show?
I'm actually getting the rights to something else, but I'm not ready to announce it yet.
Oh shit.
Please look forward to next big thing. But yeah, no, I'm going to need you to hire us to do Attack of the Show because that's the tone it needs. Absolutely. People in the comment section agree that Big Think Dimension is the tone that Attack of the Show should have in 2020. Because I absolutely do feel that way.
I've never seen a single episode of Attack of the Show. When are we going to do Cursed Content Club Attack of the Show?
I mean, what was it? I think it's in the Kirby Armchair Devs Extra where we're like... what was the Cursed Content G4 where okay. Just every time they say something intellectually repugnant, you just say fuck you and take a drink.
Okay, I'm either gonna make you do a Cursed Content feel of Icons, which was their old video game documentary show, which is from 2002, or if I could find the dead episodes of their show Portal, which was like a narrative show about being in a video game.
You know what, I'll reboot Portal. If you give me Attack of the Show, I'll reboot Portal. I don't want to, but I'll do it.
No one fucking wants to. One of the best things that network had is when they got the license for Starcade, the 80s arcade game show.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so some good boomer anime on there.
Oh yeah, no, they had Cromartie High. That's how I found it. It was really good. They also
they need more boomer anime to offset the fact that they're definitely not going to show Cops again.
Oh god, it did just run Cops to like almost 24/7.
Cops crazy, and Cheaters.
Crazy WWE is involved, so they might just not care.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to.
We'll find out when they do the interview with us for Attack
what,
the Show.
What I need Xavier Woods to have a show and just every episode there's a different wrestler guest starring. I want to know what Roman Reigns thinks of Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
It's tragic that the name Wrestling with Gaming is taken.
I mean, I've watched Xavier Woods Let's Play channel. He's good. He's a perfect fit for a G4 show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that guy on Giant Bomb's E3 multiple times. Solid dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I look forward to that. Ancient Evil Awakening. What other news do you have for us, KZ?
All right, so people can fly.
They fly now?
From they apparently can fly now. Them from Bulletstorm and the upcoming Outriders. They're already working on a AAA next-gen title. They just wanted to say it's like it's not many opportunities you get to make a new IP. This AAA next gen, we somehow figured it out. We're making one.
I'm really glad that studio is really getting theirs. You know,
I'm surprised they can do it alongside Outriders.
Yeah,
I figure you could do pre-dev on the next thing. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must mean they're getting a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Good on them. I thought Bulletstorm was really cool, and I was sad that you know. It basically bombed. Also, Outriders looks good.
Yeah.
KZ, this next game, I had to Google because it's already left my brain.
I believe it's called Hyperspace. or Hyperscape.
Local dyslexics agree, Hyperspace is an exciting new game.
Yeah, that battle royale that Ubisoft's making, you can play it in like an early beta. It's coming out of that and coming out for consoles and PC technically on August 11th. That's it.
Okay. Great.
I hope it's as fun as Rocket Arena, but I doubt it.
Did you guys see the Avengers War Table stream they did? Because they did another one of those.
No.
Let me tell you how I experienced this information, Casey.
Huh.
That monster Xbox will not stop paying YouTube to shove every benign post from them in my fucking face. So the thing just has a picture of Hawkeye and then says Xbox. This was their YouTube community post, I swear.
I hate this.
I was like, why are you paying them so much money to show me Hawkeye? Leave me alone.
All right, so they did another one of their streams showing off the game, giving like beta details, and because the last stream made the game look pretty solid, looked even better here. Honestly, I feel like the gameplay just looked and seemed to run better as well. The beta details, you're gonna be able to play a lot of this game. Like they pointed out, like you play like the intro mission, and then they picked a select set of missions that show you a bunch of the different locations you can play as for the characters and like get some of their cosmetics. They showed some stuff like you can play with AI when you group up and stuff, and they will keep whatever cosmetics you have on. So it's almost like you're building your own specific team that has the same skills and has your cosmetics and stuff. So that looked pretty neat. But yeah, it just seemed like it was a beta where they actually want to show you more of the game to actually get you in instead of just small stuff. Cool. And they revealed their next hero that'll be coming post, I think it's post-launch, because it's Hawkeye, a character from last gen.
Why is he a character from last gen? What's up?
Have you seen him? Oh, you haven't. Let me show you. Dan Video Games.
I'm on a 4K monitor now a days, and it's way too small, so all the pixels are really, really tiny, and it kind of sucks. But more importantly, that Xbox community post was so small, it made it even stupider. I was like, yeah, that sure is Hawkeye.
Here you go, Dan.
The joke is white guy with shaved head.
Okay, that's kind of funny. I get where you're coming from.
My man has the Unreal Engine 3 haircut.
I imagine him in Paragon.
See, my thought is Cole McGrath, Commander Shepard, Resistance Tumen.
No, I'm totally seeing it. I totally get it. That's kind of funny.
Thank God this game has a shit ton of costumes.
Star Killer.
True. That's a very exciting game, though. I'm very jazzed for it to come out.
Like they should more costumes.
Man.
Oh, God,
we get it. It's they over. Like, different... Fucking drop it.
They should like Black Widow with like blonde hair and a couple of different Iron Man suits. They showed that Iron Man's ultimate is just the Hulkbuster armor.
Awesome.
So you just go on everything, which I thought was pretty neat. They got like a mode where it's like a training room you can do with AI or your friends where it's just horde mode.
That's cool.
Where that's one, and that's going to be in the beta, and the beta has like single player and online. So I'm excited for that. Apparently Sony signed a deal because the beta comes to PS4 first for a week.
Do we have the date on that yet?
Yes, I believe it's August 4th. I have to.
Oh, wow. This first week of this next month is crazy.
Yeah, I think to get that early beta, you have to like pre-order online, though. I've been looking for like if like, GameStop has something, so you can just get one of their pre-orders and cancel if it's bad. But I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so it's August 7th. PlayStation's pre-order will go through. Then the 14th, they'll be doing Xbox and PC. And even they don't know what is going on with Xbox, because initially on the stream they said it was Xbox Series X pre-order.
God.
No, it was Xbox One X beta. And people were like, what? And then they had to reissue the image and it says Xbox and PC.
Man, they need to test these names.
But yeah, it'll be an open beta a week after the PlayStation one. So if you don't want to pick it up initially and still want to do it on PlayStation, just wait a week.
KZ, my eyes skimmed ahead in your news and I nearly had a stroke. I didn't expect this at all based on what we saw. Could you please talk about this next?
Okay, is it this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Project Athia? It's an open world game.
Did other people expect that?
I kind of expected it just because it's using that engine. The whole thing was that engine was like, we can make open worlds.
That's true. I didn't expect it, but I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
That team made Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah,
I want to make an actual open world game now.
The president of Square was talking this up, saying next gen and specifically PS5 is really cool, so we can actually do really impressive stuff with ray tracing and making the world look even more cool and vibrant. And I wasn't really shocked by that. I was like, Luminous Productions are going to be making the Japanese studio making the Western-esque games.
Mm.
So it's going to be like open world. Maybe they'll actually do a games as a service thing this time instead of pretending updating the game every day as a games as a service when it's just them trying to fix it.
Why can't they be more like Halo Infinite?
Yeah, why can't they be more like the Master Chief Collection?
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, they were exactly like that.
Man, if they could just release those old Final Fantasy games all on one disc, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that actually does sound better than Project Athia.
Yeah, I occasionally think about them just like doing a lazy port where it's just 1 through 6. They don't even do anything to the visuals at all.
That'd yeah, I think most people would appreciate that as long as they didn't bake in a terrible scaler.
So the PS5 can just run Ultra HD Blu-rays, right?
Yeah.
They could literally just put every game up before 13. They could put all of the 13 ones on it.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of losing it.
It's hard to fit that dog.
I was kind of losing it because that Oodle texture compression tech means Ghost of Tsushima, if it was using that on the highest compression, would have only been 30 gigs instead of 50. And that's crazy. Next gen's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to put it in the news, but I figure I should bring it up. Street Fighter V is going to have a big announcement on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
That they're calling the summer update. So hopefully we find out what's up with the new season pass they announced.
Yeah, it is definitely their stuff they were going to do at Evo. And since they said characters, makes me think they might just drop the whole thing like they
did. I always,
for Arcade Edition.
I always prefer that.
Yeah,
I remember that intro for, I think it was Arcade Edition that they did, was rad. Where it's like, oh shit, they're showing all of them.
Yeah, hopefully we get something like that again and Makoto's there.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd...
I like Makoto. I don't know that there's anyone left I need.
I don't want Capri.
Do they have Lisa?
No, Rose not in the game yet.
Yeah, Rose not it.
I said that and everyone had a hang-up except for Bob, who just chuckled.
No. It was not a hang-up. I was trying to remember what they've named the rip-off.
Yeah.
Is Jotaro in the game?
Street Fighter V gets a lot of shit, uh-huh. But I'm just thinking about, like, every new character from 4 was bad. You had Boring Man, you had, except Jury, Jury's like the good one, but you had Boring Man.
Who's Boring Man?
Oh, Abel. I knew what you were talking about.
Wow.
You had Rufus.
Yeah, he was terrible.
You had DiCapri. I guess Sea Viper and Jury.
How about Hakan?
Yeah, Sea Viper's okay.
Yeah, Sea Viper's okay.
Hakan's cool.
She's just an FNK character, and Hakan's right.
Hakan is cooler than Rufus and Abel, who are so... Remember when they were like, is Abel actually Charlie?
There's El Fuerte.
Yeah, I was about to say the degenerate character, El Fuerte.
See, that's funny because Mega 64 had a character that they kept referred to as does the Tango del Fuerte or whatever. And he just basically light himself on fire and knife fights you, if I remember correctly. And so when they introduced that character, I kept losing it.
Yeah, he shouldn't come back.
remember when... they could put in Elena still. because people like Elena.
I'm trying to think.
Who? Oh, is she the one that was the white-haired one?
Yeah, she's like the white-haired African girl who dances.
Street Fighter 3.
Oh, from Street Fighter 3.
Yeah,
I was actually thinking the Alpha 3 final character they added for the PSP.
Who is she?
Ingrid. Yeah, Ingrid, put in Ingrid's. People will get so fucking mad. Ingrid is so fucking horrible, but she's great. Ingrid is the goddess of the Capcom universe.
Oh, that's awesome. She's Athena, but that's cool.
No. She's not Athena, but she's like she makes fourth wall breaking jokes and like asks boys to kiss.
Oh God.
Yes,
oh God,
yes.
Now I understand why Dai gets so angry.
She's great. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna need that.
Oh no, 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 I understand. God, this rules. I hope she's in.
I would love if they, in this announcement, were like, and there's PS5 support, so everything runs right. There's no slow-mo backgrounds.
That game's going to be one of the first that I do, play on the PS5 just because load times. But yeah, it would be great
if
everyone...
so fast, she was, won't see the ads.
She was in unlockable artwork with Oro for Street Fighter V. I think she'll be in.
That'd be great.
Oh, man, Oro could be in this.
Oro's in, like, every fucking story mode.
He is.
Yeah.
So they'll put in Oro, they'll put in Ingrid,
and Makoto still won't get in. I'll be sad.
They'll be like, we completely redid all the backgrounds so that way no horrible mongoloids are hanging out. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
That'd be really nice.
Dudley's not in 5, right?
No.
He's not.
Okay, then put in him too.
Yeah, Dudley's cool.
Yeah, they still have some good, they have some good picks left if they don't want to make any new characters, which I think they should just not.
Yeah, they did like a whole season pass of those, and then they did half and half for like the next two.
Yeah.
So the last expansion should be like the dream characters people want.
In DiCaprio.
and you could really tell they didn't initially plan for this, and they had to take that success in mind when they ended the last one with the rest of the villains.
I wonder if they'll go full sicko mode and be like, we're putting in a second story mode right at the end. It has Gil and Seth in it.
That'd be great. Seth will be like, my name is Seth.
Like, I don't know if you guys did Seth's story mode in Street Fighter V.
I watched it.
Because it's just them going ape shit and hallucinating, and then that's it. there's like no resolution.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't actually play the story mode for him.
Remember that time Seth said, my name is Seth?
It's my favorite line. it's right up there with, I am the world's president.
Yeah, no, okay. One of those is genuinely good. The other's hilariously good.
I want him in the next Street Fighter so bad.
Well, if you buy in the conspiracy theory that he's actually a demon and all the Qs are his agents.
Yes. As the leader of the Mad Gear organization.
Yeah, he's like the leader of Mad Gear now.
Street Fighter's weird.
Yeah, we should move on, though.
Yes.
So, Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to Steam on August 5th. People immediately spotted the Steam page, and going by the FAQ for that new Genesis thing they announced, which is basically their version of A Realm Reborn for this game, they said, if PSO2 goes to any other platform, it's immediately supported by... Like, New Genesis will appear on it and will have full cross-play across all platforms. So
it's really great that Sega's getting their shit together with the PSO coming everywhere on everything.
finally, I will rest when they say, all right, here's when it's coming to PlayStation 4.
And then it'll have to support the PS5 power profile, so it'll run well.
Yes, because that deadline's already passed.
Yep. It's good shit.
Okay, this is the most clown shoe shit of all the news. So I feel like it's been over half a year since Persona 5 the Phantom Strikers came out, which was the Musou game that's a sequel to Persona 5.
Wasn't it Scramble?
Scramble Phantom Strikers.
Yeah,
for Persona 5 Scramble. It has almost been 6 months, yes.
It's been almost 6 months since that came out. Not a peep from Atlas West or Atlas in general. Koei Tecmo in a financial thing said, yeah, it's getting localized. That's it. That's the news.
Thank God. I'm just glad.
I have to assume the only thing that makes sense, the only reason we should find out this way, is that when they release, when they announce it, they're going to be like, it's out next week.
When they announce it, they're going to be like, Xbox Series X exclusive.
Optimized.
I really hope that they actually dub it. It'd be nice to have a Musou game with that.
I'm sure it'll have.
I don't think Atlus has not dubbed anything.
Yeah, but the Musou games often skip it.
The only thing was the only thing that they have not done is a Strange Journeys 3DS thing, which makes sense because when it came out, they finally gave up.
In the queue games, the Mystery Dungeon style ones.
Oh yeah, because that was like.
Oh yeah, but those are 3DS.
It was late stage 3DS because the Devil Survivor games got a full dub, and those have more voice acting than like Persona 4.
Wow.
Yeah, I think because they sold this so much as being basically Persona 5 2, it would
by
insane.
By making the two get destroyed in the logo.
Yeah, there's no way they're not going to dub it. Like stuff like Jump Force and One Piece Warriors don't get dubs because Bandai Namco doesn't give shit.
Oh my god. Any other option that is them announcing and then saying it'll be out in 5 months is unacceptable. It has to be something where it's really close.
Well, yeah, because it's a Series X launch title.
That's what they were holding back. You see, Atlus refuses for it to be day one Game Pass, so that's why they couldn't show it.
God, they would lose all of their sales.
Yeah, then it sells no money, and Atlus is like, I guess people don't like games anymore, and cancel localizing Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Well, here's some exciting news. We've been waiting. When is that next Call of Duty going to pop up?
Yeah,
is it even happening?
It's fucking August, man. Where is this shit?
Here I know. This is hilarious.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War was leaked via a bag of Doritos.
Yeah. I need to see this bag of Doritos. Anybody got a picture?
I do not. I picked this up. Apparently, this news came out like Sunday.
Let me see if I can find it.
I got a picture of a bag of Doritos. Yep. Okay, I got it. 1 second. Throwing it in.
This is crucial.
Boop. On the left there, it says...
Yeah!
Oh my god.
That's pretty bad.
Also, I'm going to play my first Call of Duty campaign soon because Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered's campaign is a PS Plus game for August.
I mean, it's only a campaign. They never did the multiplayer.
Yeah. See, that's the weird thing, Field. They remastered and made a new reimagined version of Modern Warfare 1, but then they just used that engine to remake Modern Warfare 2's campaign. So Modern Warfare 1's remaster is very different, but what you're going to play is basically the same game from 2009.
Huh. Raw.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That no game's Russian. Good. No Russian. So I really want them to talk about this fucking COD game. I've spent most of this year waiting for the COD. I'm waiting for the fish AI and the COD dog memes. Like, it's next gen. Where is it?
That's going to be their big get for this Xbox thing. It's like, now the deal's with us. It's like, you know that they're...
Yeah, I was about to say, which one do you think it is? Is it the fact that Microsoft may have a deal with it, but not Game Pass day one? Or is it Sony holding it, and they're like, we don't want to lead with this?
It's gonna be Sony.
No. Wait. KZ, you're asking me if I think Microsoft looked at the failure of the Xbox One relative to the 360 and associated that directly with not having a COD deal? I'm gonna say yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a really good chance it's switching hands again.
Meanwhile, my view is Microsoft wants to spend so little money on anything, they wouldn't even be willing to pay enough for a COD deal.
That seems likely, yeah.
Yeah.
Also very possible.
This year's game is not going to be a whole game, is it?
No, that's already leaked.
That's so sad.
Oh, no.
What is it?
It's like a third of what you expect, so it's just multiplayer. It's not a campaign.
There's still no fucking campaign?
Something like that. I just remember talking about it last year, and it looked like it was a tire fire.
Yeah, it sounded like there were two games essentially being crashed together. Hopefully we'll get a full game out of that, but it's not clear.
Yeah, it was not Treyarch's turn this time. It was another studio, and then they ripped them off it.
My assumption would be that it had a campaign, but they kept like most of the multiplayer stuff because they're still updating the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way there's going to be a separate iteration of that Battle Royale in this. You'll just get it, presumably, with this new one.
I don't know.
I guess. Who knows?
Because to get Blackout, I think it's called Blackout, right? Is that what the current one is?
No, that was the last one.
Oh, okay.
This is Warzone.
All right. Oh, okay. To get Warzone, you need to download all of Modern Warfare.
Yep.
700. No, don't worry. 5G will take care of it.
Oh, thank God. We got one more piece of news. This was exciting. The creator of Suikoden was saying that they were going to reveal something new, and then they announced Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, a Kickstarter that's a revival for the Suikoden series.
Cool.
And they had an amazing Kickstarter video.
Yes.
In which they fought the boss, which was just Iga. And then they defeated him through the help of 100 heroes and then said, hey, can we have $500,000 for this game, and it'll come out in 2 years? And people said, sure, here's $2.4 million at the time of us recording this.
Yeah, that thing's just breaking every stretch goal. It's really nice. I'm glad to hear that. Like, Suikoden's classic.
And it's not coming out on 11 platforms like some other Kickstarter.
Yeah, they're...
Yes!
They straight up say that Kickstarter has given me more confidence than any Kickstarter ever made, because they say, here are all the Mighty Number 9 problems. We're going to directly say them without saying the name of that game and saying that we're not going to do any of them.
Smart.
Guess what platform our game isn't coming out on? The Switch. Because by the time it comes out, there will be another Switch, and maybe it'll be on that.
I love that they directly said it's like it's coming out on the Xbox, the PlayStation 4, the next generation Nintendo console. And people are like, are they leaking something? It's like, no, they know the Switch sucks.
Yeah, they know the Switch sucks. And
they're not going to trap themselves.
The funny thing is the way they phrased it. They're like, if there isn't one by then that's capable enough, we'll look at what's necessary to port it. And then we'll look into doing that at some point. I'm like, oh, how smart.
It's so smart. It's so smart because you think of all the classic Kickstarters where it was like Hat in Time for Wii U and stuff like that. And it's like you're asking for trouble. This is really smart.
Who knows how much development time was wasted on the Wii U version of Bloodstain.
They also made very specific note of, hey, this is going to get to the backers before it hits retail. We do not want that to happen.
Yes.
We won't let that be in there.
Then there's always the worry of like, oh man, the stretch goals, they can get out of hand. And it's like, what are these stretch goals? Just extra heroes.
Yeah, very sensible stretch goals. Not like, we're making a new game. And yeah, even like, though some of them are, even though some of them are really modest, there's also complete filler ones in there, like, New Game Plus.
Yeah, there's like New Game Plus, a fishing mini game, and then like six or seven of them that they've broken through are just this character joins. So it's not even 100 heroes anymore. It's like 108.
I mean, that's obviously the goal. 108
would be Suikoden. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just think it's good that they're going for that and not something ambitious like online multiplayer versus.
Online multiplayer versus battle race boss rush.
Ooh. Inafune's a lunatic.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll wait a year and then suddenly they're announcing a cartoon for this.
And a movie. You forgot the movie.
The footage they showed of this game looks sick. I've never played a single entry in the series this comes from.
I hope there is somebody in this game as raw as Luca Blight.
I heard they're raw.
Which one are
also,
they
from? Also, we got one... two.
Okay.
We got one last piece of incredible news.
Oh, yeah?
Bleach Brave Souls is coming to PC this summer. It will support
Oh my God.
That's the bad mobile action game. It will support English, Japanese, French, traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, Korean, and Thai.
Good. I hope there's bad Orihime images in it.
It's the one that has, like, the weird alternate versions of the Arrancar where they absorb the big plot MacGuffin.
Oh, God, don't. Don't. It's like you just said Chinese to Dan.
I'm not going to let him spoil Bleach, so I zoned out.
I'm not going to spoil. I mean, I didn't spoil anything. I said a character exists. I didn't even say their name.
Anyway, that's it for our news. I'm glad we got through our news, everybody. There were heavy thunderstorms, and my power didn't die, so we're good.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Next week's Big Think has a big announcement, most likely. We will be streaming random games, giving them a chance like Rocket Arena, and enjoying the downtime from the huge crunch that has been the last three-ish months of my life. Hey, Casey, what do you have going on?
Holy shit, Phil. But unrelated to the things that Phil's showing me, content's coming back. I'm putting out, like, a video a day, alternating some games. Oh, yeah, that will have started the day this came out. I'm starting Trails of Cold Steel 2. I put in some time in that, but nothing worth talking about yet, as those games are a billion hours long, and so I haven't played enough yet. But doing a little bit of that, trying to get some streaming in. That's about it for me.
Okay, how about you, Phil?
I'll be in, hopefully my stuff will be here on Monday, and I'll be installing it and able to do things at some point. Please next look forward to next week where I get to talk about Fairy Tail.
Fuck,
because it just came out.
You have to save some of it because we are doing the spoiler cast.
That's very true, but Dan and Bob can't completely escape.
It's got to be just you got to save some of it. Because it's actually happening because I bought it.
God damn it.
I did it.
Oh, well, audience, take the good with the bad. Look forward to next week, but also grit your teeth for next week.
they better be happy. It means that at some point on some week, whenever it happens, they get a bonus.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support the GP Podcast Network, head on over to patreon.com/GP Podcast so that way you can get exclusive behind the scenes on stuff, other content. There's a lot of content. It's basically non-ending avalanche of content. So head on over there, become a $5 backer or a Podlord today.